Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And back we are, Sports Talk on a Wednesday evening. Chris Berg and Pat Daniel in Columbia. Phil Kornblut up in Charlotte watching the Gamecocks grab now a 3-0 lead over North Carolina, top of the second inning, belt with a two-run single to left field that has given the Gamecocks a 3-0 lead as they continue to bat in the top of the second. Meantime, down in Conway tonight at Springsbrook Stadium, Coastal taking on the College of Charleston. All shot clears early as they lead 5-0 in the top of the fifth inning. 5 runs, 3 hits, no errors for CCU. 0-1-0 for the college. But it is every other Wednesday, and that means it's SC Wild with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and that means our good friend Major Billy Downer joins us here this evening. And the great outdoors, Major, have been the scary outdoors the last 48 hours or so. How's everybody hunkering down at DNR with all the storms that have been moving through the state?
Absolutely, Chris. Glad to be here tonight. But yeah, last night, definitely not the normal night in South Carolina. We had a couple nasty tornadoes touch down a couple places in the state and dragged through. I was talking to our state climatologist today and her staff, and just looking at the path of those tornadoes that had touched down and giving us some information on our Manning area here. Just really bad storm hit a friend of mine's house, and it just destroyed it. Fortunately, everybody was okay, but a lot of damage to the house. So just crushed their, we're talking about a very nice home. We're not talking about a mobile home. We're talking about a stick-built home. Two-story, 3,000 square feet plus, and just got it pummeled it on one side. Took the roof off, crushed their cars under the bonus room underneath. It was pretty scary to look at, honestly. One of those things you look at and you go, okay, I hope I don't have to go find bodies here because it just didn't look that bad. But fortunately, nobody was hurt. Very lucky there, that whole community. But certainly had some tornadoes, some tornadic activity. Checked tonight. So far, doesn't look like there's going to be any tornadoes in this storm cell. Just some heavy thunderstorms coming through our area tonight. Hopefully, of course, that can always change. So make sure to keep your weather alerts on your phone active. Watch your local news. I was out driving yesterday evening, and I basically drove around that tornado and just missed it. Very lucky. But again, certainly was a bad night for some folks. Lost some property, but fortunately there are no injuries. So very lucky.
That is good news. And I think most people, when they talk about the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, the images we get in our minds are hunting and fishing. But how much of your job and what you guys do at DNR is emergency preparedness?
Certainly we are, we are absolutely a reactionary force when it comes to that, when it comes to natural disasters. Again, we have state climatologists at DNR. A lot of people don't know that, so they're helping watch the weather and things. But for sure, with us, we are reactionary to the disasters, hurricanes, that thing. Because we have vehicles, because we have the boats and things that can get to places that are during flooding, like we had in 15 and 16 back there. So, again, our officers are trained in operating those off-road vehicles and things, so it kind of lends us to that job. So that's what we look at, but certainly don't hope for any more bad weather in the next couple of weeks. Hope we get some nice sunny weather before Easter comes around. But speaking of Easter, I don't want to start the show tonight without talking about turkey season. Turkey season is in full swing across the state now in all of our game zones. So I've talked to our turkey biologist, and what I understand, a pretty good take this year so far. Folks having a lot of success, which generally, means our turkey population looks pretty good for the kind of take we're seeing, but we'll kind of look, wait and see what that means at the end of the year. But the Game Check app, make sure folks remember that there's a new South Carolina DNR the licensing app. You can go on there. Again, you go to Go Outdoors SC, and you'll find that, load that on your phone. And you can find that in your app store, both for Apple and your apple products and your holy cow, I'm having a brain freeze. Can't
we were doing the same thing earlier with regards to podcasts, but I think Spotify and that type of thing is where you can find that stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So anyhow, it's, you know, it's out there on your different platforms for your phone. So either way, if you got Android, what I was looking for, Android or Apple, you can get it. So, but do want to get you something on the show tonight. I know we got a very special guest waiting right now. Morgan Kaiser, if we bring her in, we're going to talk about boating safety a little bit. I know that that is something that weighs heavy on her mind, and she has been a huge proponent for a boating safety bill that's been moving through our legislature the last year or two here, and she's done a lot of hard work with her family to support a movement towards safer boating on Lake Murray, which would also spread to all the lakes and waterways in our state. So, Morgan, I'm glad to have you on the show tonight.
Hi, thank y'all so much for having me. I appreciate y'all so much.
Yeah, Morgan, just in case folks don't know who you are, if you can take a moment, if you will, and just share your story about why boating safety is so important to you. Hey, Morgan.
Yeah.
Tell us why. Tell a little bit about your story real quick about, so folks that may not know what your story is and why boating safety is so important to you.
Yeah, so on September 21st, 2019, I was out on the boat with my parents just on a regular boat ride, and we were run over by another boat. My father was killed in front of me, just torn apart, actually. And my mother's leg was cut off, and I had to take my dress off and tie it around her leg as a tourniquet. So that really affected me and my family, and we just don't want it to happen to any other people on the waterways. We're just trying to make sure that no other families have to suffer.
All right. I appreciate you sharing that story. I know it's hard for you to look back on that, but tell us a little bit about the bill that you are supporting.
It's S-497, so that's Senate Bill 497. It's currently in the House Judiciary Committee awaiting a hearing. It would require anybody that's born on or after July 1st, 2006 to get a boating education certificate before operating a boat on our waterways. So it won't affect anybody that currently owns boats. It's not going to affect anybody that's older than 16. But once it goes into effect, anybody that's born on or after July 1st, 2006 will be required to have a boating safety certificate before operating a boat.
That's correct. So we've talked about this before. A lot of times when we talk about boating safety, some people get up in arms a little bit and wonder, why do I have to take boating safety if I've been running a boat for 30 years? This law, as it is written now, has a born after date, which is what she's describing, Morgan's describing. And basically that means those that are born after the date in the law would be required to pass a boating safety course. Now, that means people born prior to it don't. So you're basically grandfathered in. And what that does is allow for a very slow process of getting everyone certified in boater education over the next 30 years, basically. It doesn't affect the current public boating, but it will affect the future and secure safety in the future for our boating public. So that's something to think about. You know, a lot of folks have different opinions, but we can all agree that we want to be able to go out in the water and have a safe time. We want to be able to go out and enjoy the waterways. We want to be able to come back and be able to go home with our families, not be missing anybody, certainly not have the story that Morgan had or others have had and lose somebody on a day that should be a fun day, and make that become a nightmare. Nobody wants that. We're just trying to, I know Morgan is trying to support boating safety as we as a department do. We are certainly behind anything that would help make our waterways safer. And there are folks that will say, well, what does education do? How does that make it safer? You know, if you told my biggest comment to that is when we drive a car, before you drive a car, you can't just go out and drive a car. You got to pass tests. And cars have brakes, and they stop real easy, and, you know, you have roadways. On the water, there are no waterways, roadways. Everybody knows that with boats. We know you can go anywhere, which is kind of the fun part about boating. But at the same time, for somebody that doesn't understand a boat, to have no knowledge of a boat, to be able to go out there and buy a $150,000 Scout, or I don't want to pick on Scout, but any boat with, you know, 200 and 300 horsepower, or even more than that, 400 horsepower in the back, and get out on the lake and rev it up and go, and have no knowledge of boating, how the boat works, how to stop the boat, how to operate it, except for just experimenting. It's a little unnerving sometimes, but there's a lot of people out there that do that. They go buy a boat and they never have one before. And we saw that in the last 2 years with COVID. Well, people just wanted to go out and they bought boats. You know, none of the boating dealerships had any boats because everybody was buying a boat. So that's one of the things that just concerns people a lot of times is, if you really think about it, there's people out there on the water that don't have the experience. Of course, in different stories, alcohol plays a factor. And we know that. We do our best to educate the public on that, about drinking and boating. But boater education is a way to start at a baseline somewhere with young people. And if you have the born after date, like she said, 2006, basically if you're 16 or older when this bill would be passed, if it was passed this year, that you would not be required to take it. But if you weren't 16 yet, anybody born after that would have to have the boater education certification. And again, it doesn't require in-person class. It can be done online. There's so many different ways to take the class, particularly now with COVID. They've done, I know the U.S. Power Squadron, U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary did some online classes as well. So you could have kind of a little back and forth with an instructor. But there are online courses you can take that are animated and have a lot of interaction in them that allows somebody to take a course at their own pace and not have to pay, you know, go to one 8-hour course in a day. They can take it over a series of days or weeks if they want to, a little at a time. So there's a lot of ways to get boater education should this pass. But Morgan, tell me a little bit, you know, you've been a big proponent of this, your mom as well. What do you see as the biggest challenge yourself?
To getting this bill passed?
Yes.
We just need more support from the community. We have a lot of support from boat manufacturers and, like, the boating community, and we have a lot of support from legislators. But right now it's in the Judiciary Committee, and we just need to get it a hearing so we can just get it across the finish line.
Sure, I got it.
And so I feel like people are worried about us taking away their freedom. But we're not trying to do that. We're not trying to do that at all. I just think that education, we're in the top 20 of the highest death count in our country, the top 20 states highest death count, and we are one of three states that doesn't already have this in effect. And one of the other three is passing the bill this year. So, I mean, we're not trying to take anybody's freedoms away. We're just trying to make it so everybody's safer out on the waterways. Right now, only our children have to be educated. The people that can go out and buy a boat and buy beer at the same time, again, not trying to just point the finger at alcohol, but, you know, right now only our children have to be educated. And this bill is only going to affect the children now still until it slowly affects, you know, everybody. It's a slow.
But it is a great first step, and it's a slow, steady increase in boater education. So it is a positive step. It's just a little slower maybe than some may want. But that makes it more palatable in a lot of ways to let it, you know, slowly take effect. But I will say this, you know, Morgan, we talk about this a lot with boating safety, what we can do to educate the public. But, you know, again, talk about this boats. People sometimes still forget South Carolina is certainly in the top 10, if not the top 6 or 7 in the country in the number of boats. Hard to believe that little South Carolina has that many boats. But, you know, I've always said it's 30% of our state's water. We got a lot of water in this state, and folks enjoy it. You know, they enjoy boating. Our old director, Alvin Taylor, always said, and I always thought it was a great statement he made, you couldn't go anywhere in South Carolina without seeing a boat, whether it's a John boat, a canoe, or a tritune or a pontoon or what have you in somebody's yard. There's one almost in every backyard because this state enjoys boating. And with so many people boating, isn't it a good idea to make sure that when we're out there in the water, we're safe when we do it? So, again, we can do that for a lifetime and avoid the tragedies that we've seen happen from people just not knowing what to do in the scenario. You know, one of the things I want to talk about tonight to remind folks, you know, as we start up warmer weather coming up, Easter weekend coming up next week, you know, boating on Lake Murray is going to pick up. Boating on other lakes in the state, like Hartwell, Lake Kiwi, you know, Charleston Harbor, up and down the coast, Lake Marion, Moultrie, lots of folks will be out boating. Make sure before you go out this year to check your boats out, that you check your registration, make sure they're good to go. But safety equipment, check your safety equipment out. Make sure you got your whistle on board, you've got your life jackets, your PFDs, personal flotation devices, that you have enough for everybody that's going to be on that boat, that they're in good condition. You check them. Make sure there's no rips or tears in them. Make sure if you store them over the wintertime up under seats and everywhere, they didn't get molded from the hot and cold weather, because we all know that winter in South Carolina gets hot and cold. We have plenty of 70-degree days in the winter, middle of the wintertime. That can cause mold to grow. So check those life jackets. Make sure they're good. The material's in good shape, because you don't want to have a hole in a life jacket and find that out when you get in the water. That's not a good idea, and stuff starts coming out. So check your life jackets. Make sure you got enough. Make sure they're in good working condition. And then make sure when you get on that water that they're where you can get to them. Of course, we want you to wear your life jacket, but everybody doesn't want to wear a life jacket. We understand that. The law doesn't require you to wear it unless you're under age 12 on a boat less than 16 foot in length. Because of the small size of the boat, we require children under the age of 12 to wear a life jacket at all times. But other than that, you know, have that life jacket where you can get to it. Don't put it in a locked compartment on the boat where you've got to find a key to get to your life jackets. Everybody likes to put them in those bags, and that does keep them clean. But if you put those bags in this under a locked cabinet and you've got an emergency, and let's say your boat flips and throws you out, your life jackets are now in a locked cabinet in a zipped-up bag. You've got multiple problems to get through just to get your life jacket on. So I always encourage folks, keep your life jackets out where you can get to them in a hurry if you need them. And always, you know, it's a good consideration. If you're running on the water, put your life jacket on. And a couple of my friends lately have bought some self-inflators because those are much more comfortable and they feel safe wearing them. As you get older in life, you start worried about being safe all of a sudden. We're 20, we don't think about it. We don't care about, you know, we're going to live forever. But when you get 50, 60, you start knowing you're not going to live forever, so you kind of want that life jacket on to make sure something happens that you float. So those self-inflators are out there. They're really nice, very comfortable. Expensive, yes, they're $150, but what's your life worth? I mean, I think anybody here would say your life's worth $150. So I find a life jacket that you're comfortable wearing, and wear it when you're underway. That's just a good rule of thumb. Past that, make sure you got your lights working, particularly at night. We have so many incidents on our waters at night sometimes with people that just don't have their running lights working. Remember, you have a red and green bow light in the front and a white all-around light in the back. Both of those lights are important. The red and green helps tell people what direction you're going, but that white all-around light in the back, that's the most important, because that shows your boat out there. As challenging as it is in our boating environment today, boats out on the lakes with all the ambient light from docks, from houses, because we didn't have all the houses like we do now. Sometimes those lights get lost in the water, so, you know, those boats get lost into all those housing lights. So that means slow down. You know, we don't have a speed limit in South Carolina. A lot of people ask that question. Do we have a speed limit? No, we don't. But we do have a law that says being negligent is wrong, and negligent can be defined as driving too fast at night through congested traffic. You know, not just on July 4th when it's a fireworks show. If you can't tell lights that good, if your eyes aren't are like mine and not as good at night as it used to be, slow down. Back off that throttle. It's not worth it to speed through and hit somebody. Trust me. Morgan can testify to that. It's not worth it.
I can't agree with everything that you've just said more. With the life jacket, I mean, there were two guys that almost drowned because their boat flipped just a few weeks ago, and a kayaker happened to come upon them. So if their life jackets would have been thrown from the boat, they might have been able to get their life jackets. Luckily, they were saved. And, you know, when you're in the moment and that tragedy happened, it's overwhelming. It's too much. So just prepare as much as you can so that you're not in, you don't have to be in that situation. It's horrible.
And Major Downer, if I can jump in for 1 second here, you may or may not be aware of this, but many of our listeners are. Prior to moving back to South Carolina, I owned and operated a boat rental company up in Massachusetts seasonally, and it was not until I moved up there that it became so apparent how little amount of boater education there is for the average person around the country. The amount of people that would hop on board and expect to just be given the keys and just go along their way, had no idea about life jackets, didn't know how to turn on and off the boat, didn't know how to raise and lower the engine, and so forth. I was lucky, and many of us here in South Carolina, to have taken one of DNR's childhood boater safety courses. I still have the license to this day, and it will not only help your children and young people to learn how to have boater safety out on the water, but honestly, it will also help get them excited to get out on the water and show what they have learned. I remember my brother and I, after leaving the course, it actually made us want to go right out onto our dad's boat and explore the water on our own because now we knew what we were doing. So it's not just to educate people, it's also to get people involved out on the waterways, but in a safe manner. And if we could take a moment here too for Morgan to please share with our listeners about Safe the Lake on Facebook and what maybe is the best way for them to get involved if they'd like to voice their support with this cause.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so I would love it if everybody would join Safe the Lake. We have a Facebook group on Facebook. Well, we have a Facebook group where everybody comes together and they just share their knowledge. You know, if something's going on, they can put it on the Facebook group, and just everybody actually can just learn through that as well. We also have, you know, links to these boating courses, and we have links to events that are going on the lake. Sometimes they have events where they'll check your boat to make sure everything's in proper order. Because again, I mean, just prepare yourself so that you don't have to be in a bad situation. It's just so worth preparing for it. But yeah, so we also have a website. It's safethelake.com. And if y'all could go to that website, we have links there for you to be able to easily write the House Judiciary members and ask them to help us get this bill across the finish line. Was that what you asked for?
That's perfect. And yes, and also for our listeners, if you go to our Twitter, SportsTalkSC, we also have shared a direct link there. And essentially what it does is it is a pre-written body of an email addressed to every single one of the South Carolina representatives. You can certainly then add any context that you would like to provide. It's just a way of having your voice heard. But the goal here is we can make it as easily as possible for you to contact them. Thank you, Morgan.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we got a short time here before we finish up. Morgan, I want to thank you again for being on the show tonight. I know it kind of last minute we put it together, but I'm always a pleasure to have you with us. Always fun talking to you as well. And I appreciate all the work that you have done to support boater education. Can't say enough about that. But thank you so much.
Jeremy.
And we thank
you're
from
amazing.
Here at Sports Talk, too.
Thank you all so much.
So, again, you know, just reminding folks here as we close out the show tonight, just make sure as you look toward the boating season this year that you're thinking about boating education, boating safety at least, before you get on that water. If you don't take a boater education course, we'd love for you to take one. Again, they're online, you know, dnr.sc.gov, or you can take a course from the U.S. Coast Guard, Auxiliary, or U.S. Power Squadron, many online courses that are approved by NASBLA. The National Association of State of Boating Law Administrators, and they're the national group that certifies courses, and all of our courses we accept are NASBLA approved, so there's a lot of them out there to take. But again, you know, think safety before you get out there. Get your safety equipment together. Hope you enjoy the lake and the warm weather coming up here in the next week or two. But again, we thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Safe boating to everybody in the next few weeks.
Appreciate you, Major Downer, and to all our listeners out there, we appreciate you as always. And Chris, thank you.
Oh, yeah, this was fun.
And we will see everybody tomorrow night here on Sports Talk.